Hi everyone, Siobhan Sarna here with Petunia the cat and Stephen Wright. We're going to be talking about magnesium. Dun dun, revisited. How in the world are we supposed to keep these different magnesiums straight? What do they do for us? Each one, their different properties. Is topical as good as ingesting it? Are there tests for it? If you have body pain, can it help? Go like this. Yes, it can. So who is Stephen Wright? Stephen is a dear friend of mine who has been one of my coaches from the very beginning in 2016 when I decided to go into this area of education. I am an adult educator. I had a yoga studio for 10 years. I was a host on Home Shopping Network, which I know doesn't sound like you'd educate a lot of people doing that, but it was very educational. I mean, basically, I was a journalist 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for 24 years. And it was a lot of investigation. We can get into that another time about why. But we had a lot of regulations to pay attention to with the FTC and the FDA and all this jazz. Anyway, I had gut health issues. I had alopecia. I had fibromyalgia. I had all this stuff wrong with me. And I was exposed to mold for those 24 years. And I had SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, found out exactly what it was after going and spending thousands and thousands of dollars in my own personal investigation, and swore that I would help other people to figure out their situations. Thus, Chronic Condition Rescue in 2016 was born. 10 summits later on everything from lymph health and fascia health and the microbiome and SIBO and IBS and biological dentistry. And here we are today with Stephen. And Stephen never wanted to start his own supplement company, even though he and his business partner, Jordan, back in the day were some of the original people teaching people online about gut health and helped millions of people with leaky gut. And the SCD Lifestyle was the name of their brand company, helping people to have better gut health with their own personal stories. And I always used to ask Stephen, like, why don't you start a supplement company? Because throughout these years, I would reach out to him and be like, hey, what about this? What about this? I heard something weird. What do you think? And he'd be like, oh yeah, the Russians have been doing that for years. I do it this way. You know, like, seriously, he knows what he's talking about. He uses himself often as his own experiment, but he's also like legitimately trained as an engineer. I'm not just making that up as a word. So he finally went to the drawing board and created his own supplements at the Healthy Gut Company because he couldn't find what he wanted for himself in the marketplace. And that's why he's here talking to us about magnesium. He's a great educator himself. And we do have a discount for you for his products that Clarissa will post as we go. Stephen, magnesium, gotta love it. Don't miss out on this, guys, because it could totally be a game changer for you. That was a long intro. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, thanks, Siobhan. Thanks for having me back. I mean, what's interesting is that I literally discovered something this morning preparing for this talk that I did not know about magnesium and its connection to vitamin D. And very interesting. So we're going to cover magnesium's connection to the gut and gut-related conditions. We're going to cover this new research I just discovered this morning around, obviously we all want D levels above 30 nanograms per deciliter is the danger zone for upper respiratory and tract infections. Every risk, every disease in the world, if you're under 30 and you're vitamin D, bad news. So most people are saying around 50 is like around optimal. There's a lot of debate. I'm not a D3 expert, but I would say I'm trying to keep my levels between like 40 and 60 on the regular. And I don't get enough sun to get it there. And so you have to supplement. And if you supplement with D3, you're gonna chew up magnesium. And that's really interesting.
Wow. That is really interesting. Okay. Cause I think D3, K2, Kieran Krishnan's been on here talking about it. Thank goodness it's making more headlines these days. Always take it with a little bit of fat and get that magnesium to go with it. Okay.
Yeah. So we could talk about inflammation. We could talk about the gut connection with magnesium. But I think the first step was like, why even talk about magnesium? Isn't it like, isn't the story out on that? And I thought it was. I think at the beginning, I thought magnesium was so boring. I like the crazy stuff from, you know, the third world countries that no one else is touching yet. That's my zone of genius. But magnesium, come on. Do we really need to take it? You know, everybody says the diet, the soils have been depleted, things like this. And I'm actually sad to tell you that my research has led me to conclude that yes, the soils are depleted. Yes, it actually is hard to acquire enough magnesium. And if that wasn't even the case, that new study just came out in the UK saying that if your dietary intake, total dietary intake between supplementation and food intake of magnesium is over 550 milligrams per day, your brain at the age of 50 will be at least 1 year less old. It'll be aging like backwards relative to your age if you have a higher magnesium intake than the RDA from our government. And so I think the story is actually just beginning here with magnesium, and it's really exciting.
So how could I eat that much magnesium in my diet?
Well, you would have to be eating probably a lot of greens, so a lot of vegetables, and probably a lot of animal products at the same time. Yeah, I mean, we can Google like nuts and seeds and find that, you know, pumpkin seeds are crazy high in magnesium and various rare, not rare, but I mean, most of us don't have pumpkin seeds just sitting on the shelf. But there's also, can you actually break down those seeds and those nuts? Right. Like I have a big bone to pick. I'm not wealthy enough to fund the research myself because it would just be for the general well-being of the world. But I think the nutrients locked up inside of nuts and seeds are essentially much harder to access digestively for a human than other types of food on the internet. They're literally locked away in a hard structure. Right. And so I don't know if I buy the ability to process all of the minerals out of nuts and seeds.
Right. So, Stephen, can we just take this moment to talk about, just let's list what magnesium helps, and then let's go over each different type of magnesium. So you started with inflammation, brain health.
Yep. Several studies show that if you have low magnesium, you have a higher hsCRP or CRP number. These are inflammatory markers that every doctor should be running on you at least once a year, just so you have a history for your own body. But so if you have low magnesium, you're going to have higher inflammation markers, just generalized whole body inflammation. You're going to have less brain volume as you age. You will likely have fatigue because magnesium is part of like 600 different reactions across the body. And if these 600 reactions are happening slower because they need magnesium to work, like if they're only happening at 60% speed or 50% speed, your entire felt life is going to feel fatigued and slow. And so that also tends to lead us into like muscle weakness, cramping, leg, I wouldn't say restless legs because that's a complex disorder, but like that type of sensations around the nerves and the legs, that's associated with low magnesium. I just mentioned potentially low vitamin D status as a risk factor for low magnesium. And then people with, mental illness have a higher likelihood to have low magnesium, especially generalized anxiety, sleep-related issues, things around that.
So how many different types of magnesium are there? Do you know, like, do you have the number off the top of your head?
No, I have no idea what the number
is. Let's talk about the most popular or the most underused and the ones directly associated with the benefits of countering those different conditions. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the cheapest and the most widely bioavailable or the most widely used, which is magnesium oxide. Okay. So if you flip over the back of your supplements, hopefully you're being the CEO of your own health. You're not trusting me or Siobhan or anyone, and you're reading the labels on your products, even the ones your doctor gives you. And if you see magnesium oxide, that's the oldest, the cheapest form of it, and the one best for inducing diarrhea. I mean, to put it bluntly, if it's the oxide that it's bound to really irritates the gut, draws a bunch of water in and produces loose stools or diarrhea. So it has been used in studies for constipation. My issue with it is that I think there are better, safer forms. And by safer, I don't mean like you're going to have to go to the ER. I just mean that you might have to run to the bathroom when you don't want to run to the bathroom and have an explosion.
Urgency. That's my term for that. Urgency.
Yeah, I don't like urgency. I don't think most people like urgency.
No, it's a horrible, horrible thing. Okay, so that's oxide.
So I would say the most reported uplifting form of magnesium is magnesium malate. So first we should say, like, what are all these things? Magnesium needs to be bound to another either amino acid or a either organic or non-organic. So it's usually an amino acid, or sometimes it's another mineral, in order to be stabilized, manufactured, and then absorbed by the body. And so there is no such as thing as like magnesium. Like it's magnesium plus another molecule.
Okay. All right.
So what's good is that if you know these other molecules, you can choose the ones that are most likely to support whatever your desire is. So a lot of people find magnesium malate, which is bound to malic acid, to be energizing, like uplifting. You could try that, form if that, some people, there's a really expensive form, probably the most expensive form, called magnesium threonate. It's L-threonate. It's a proprietary formula. I haven't quite figured it out. But threonate is the molecule it's bound to. They ran studies and it supposedly crosses the blood-brain barrier. And some people find that form of magnesium it seems to either be uplifting or calming. If you read through the reviews on some of these, it could go back and forth. Now, I think what's interesting is that while that one has been studied and shown to cross the blood-brain barrier, it's not that the other ones don't, we don't have evidence the other ones don't cross the blood-brain barrier. Okay. They just haven't been studied for that yet.
Okay.
So that's interesting to know.
Yep. Keep going. You're doing great.
So you can try magnesium threonate if you're, really thinking about mental stuff. And then my favorite is, we could do the topical first, magnesium chloride. So chloride's more of a mineral base. Most people do not ingest mag chloride, but topically it can be absorbed through the skin. And so you have your topical lotions and baths and things like that for magnesium chloride. It's a different form of absorption. Like it's going through different pathways. It's not passing through your gut. For some people who are really banged up in the gut area and are really struggling to break down anything, it can be an alternative form. Or for people who have like pill fatigue, this can also be a good thing to test. I will say that I don't know that you can just do mag chloride alone and raise your stores of magnesium by itself. I haven't seen the data to show that. But okay. I do feel an effect if I try it sometimes. And I know that many other people around the world do as well. So I think there's some benefit happening from topical magnesium for sure.
Okay.
And then the last form, at least that we can talk about today, there's other forms, but magnesium glycinate is my favorite form. And that's magnesium bound to glycine. There's magnesium glycinate and magnesium bisglycinate. So one glycine or two glycines to the magnesium atom. The two glycine version is the one that I find to be the one for sensitive tummies, the one for sensitive stomachs, the one for people with digestive issues, the one for people who do not want urgency at all, and the one for people who are stressed, anxious, and looking for some relaxing, calming benefits from their magnesium.
Like the most well-rounded one.
Correct.
Especially if you have gut issues.
Yep. Yeah. And that's poured out in studies that they did where Crohn's disease people had no urgency and diarrhea to the glycinate forms, but they did to oxide. And then in other studies, we know that, well, of course, there's citrate as well. So citrate is bound to citric acid. And so citrate ends up being in the middle there. I don't love it. Like, I don't know what you would use it for. I think you'd either use malate, or malic acid, you'd use threonate, or you'd use glycine.
Which one is calm?
That's citrate.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I think you're going to get a lot more calm from glycinate.
I used to use calm, the magnesium supplement, but then I switched to yours and definitely felt more of a balanced difference. I mean, so magnesium citrate is good for constipation, but so is magnesium glycinate. And it is, I don't know how to describe it. What's the word? Like, it's more harmonious to me. I don't know.
And that's exactly true. So if you look at oxide versus citrate versus glycinate, oxide pulls the most water into the stomach area. If you overdose yourself by even 50 milligrams, you can have explosive diarrhea.
Okay.
Trust me.
Right.
I done that one, and you can look at reviews across the world that happens. Citrate has a slightly higher window of tolerance, meaning it draws in slightly less water into your intestines. Mm-hmm. And so if you're off by, say, 200 milligrams, you could have urgency and explosive diarrhea. But if you're off by 100 or so, you're probably not going to notice it, and it might work great for you. Glycine doesn't necessarily pull water into your intestines, but it relaxes things from a different pathway, which is why you would say maybe it feels different and it feels more harmonious or less aggressive on the intestines.
Right. That is a perfect way of saying that. Less aggressive. Right. Can you, Clarissa, can you pop the information for the link for everybody to be able to get Stephen's magnesium for the cheapest price out there? Because we do these monthly, Stephen's been able to give our community the best discount out there. So I want to share that with you all. And how I also find that the magnesium glycinate helps me with my sleep.
Yes. So when you take in the magnesium compound, it gets split so that you get elemental magnesium and you get that absorbed. And then you have this other compound. So for citrate, you have citric acid. For glycinate, you have glycine. Glycine happens to be studied for better sleep. At 3 grams per day, the studies show that you're going to feel a lot more rested in the morning. You're going to have better REM and potentially non-REM sleep numbers. You can also look at glycine dosages of around a gram or more per day for just generalized well-being support and less stress, more calm, that kind of thing. So yes, glycine in and of itself is very beneficial as a supplement on its own. It's also very important amino acid for our digestive lining. So if you're low glycine, it's really hard to regenerate your gut cells. So that's why that feels that way. Whereas citrate or citric acid doesn't feel that way because it's a different, you're getting a bunch of citric acid, which is necessary for some chemical reactions in the body, but too much of, you could argue, is the reason why it causes diarrhea.
Okay. So Clarissa's popped it in there. It's $15 off and free shipping in the US for the Holozyme, which is Stephen's very specialized digestive enzymes, the HCL guard, the Tributarin X, the Holoimmune. And Clarissa, we need to get there's the magnesium HP. It's up in there. Yep. Let's go ahead, Mary. You want to put your comment in the Q&A box? And then she's saying you would never take a gram of glycinate though, right? Is that true or false? Some people take a lot of glycinate.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a problem. I mean, I was talking about glycine, the amino acid, but a gram of mag glycinate, yes, I've seen that in practice. I've seen that be just fine for short-term style stuff. If you're trying to basically rebuild magnesium stores, let's say you're under a lot of inflammation, let's say your blood work, which we could talk about why blood work for magnesium levels is really complex and scary.
Oh, yeah, go ahead and take that on, and then I'll ask some questions of you.
Okay, so I just literally this morning, March of this year, 2023 study about osteoporosis and magnesium and the linkage with vitamin D. The authors conclude the paper by reminding everybody, which I've said on our previous magnesium shows, that less than 1% of your entire store of magnesium is inside the serum, which is the blood volume, or the red blood cells. So the markers you might get at an office are magnesium serum or magnesium RBC. Now, 10 years ago, I was taught, and I think a lot of people were educated that, hey, you want to get your mag RBC levels at the high end of the reference range because that's going to be the best marker of magnesium. Well, now we know that less than 1% of all the magnesium in your body is located in those two locations, meaning that we can't actually test the most important areas, which are our bones, our muscles, and our organs, to see where their magnesium stores are. But the belief of the authors of this paper and the theory that I believe myself now personally is that in order to have a proper storage inside of those other, well, number one, there's never been a study that says if your magnesium level in RBC or serum is 6 or 8, that corresponds to a bone level, which is where the majority of your stuff is at, that's healthy as well. That linkage, that data has never been done. We don't know the answer there. So we're all just assuming that if we can measure less than 1%, we'll know the other 99% of the equation. So that scares me as an engineer. That's this type of stuff that I don't like using that kind of data, but I don't have any other way to do it. So if your levels are below the top end of the reference range for serum or RBC, that would suggest that you have a deficiency upstream in the storage components of the magnesium, is according to these authors, right? Basically, what that's saying is that you don't even have enough magnesium in your bones, your muscles, your organs to have enough high enough concentration in your blood. And so when you're trying to, if you get a really low marker on a blood test, if you're trying to replete that amount and you're trying to drive it back into your bones and your organs and things like that, you're probably going to have to take super dosages, right? You're going to have to take a gram, 1500 milligrams a day, work with a practitioner, keep monitoring your labs. I'm not telling you to, you know, act like an idiot here and do this forever. Use labs. They're not that expensive, and play with it. Test every 6 to 8 weeks and then also track your symptoms. But that would be the way that you would drive those numbers in your bones and your organs. And then you would also see your levels over time normalize back up inside the blood.
So take care, Ruth. What labs do your levels? Is that like on a normal PCP, primary care physician?
Yeah, that's just serum magnesium or magnesium RBC. Your regular general practitioner is actually, they're starting to run these labs, especially if you're over 50, you're at risk for osteoporosis, other diseases of aging, things like that.
What would be one that you would buy over the counter that says just magnesium typically? Is it actually magnesium citrate? You'd have to look at the label, Carrie. There's so many different brands out there and they're just saying magnesium on the front. Agreed with that, Steve? Like if you're at a store and it says magnesium.
Yeah, you got to look at the back of the label. Yeah. You can't trust the front of a supplement company's label. Don't even trust mine. You got to read the back.
Read the label. Sarah, no matter what minerals I take, no matter how hydrated, I still get nighttime foot and leg cramps. Any thoughts?
I mean, have you tried the bisglycinate form? I mean, I don't know that could help. It could be, but if it's not, if you've done the minerals, you've done bisglycinate, you've done high doses of these, then I would start to think maybe a different direction when it comes to cramping. Could be nerve related, could be nervous system related, things like that.
And like, what is your high levels and what are the other minerals you're doing and what company made those minerals? Sorry, that's a lot. I know. Edith, and I don't know if I'm saying your name right, but I know you, of course. Hello. There's a lot of advertisements saying that you should take all of the 7 forms of magnesium for getting any benefit. Though in fact, I know there are even more than 7 forms. Yeah. Is there any medical truth behind such a statement?
No. Okay. Here's their theory. All right. So here's Stephen Wright's analysis of magnesium that is not proven. You can come to your own conclusion, but I've looked at the bioavailability, which we haven't talked about that word yet, but basically what that means is when you take a compound like magnesium compounded with lysine or citrate or something, how much of that magnesium gets into your body versus how much of it doesn't get absorbed due to the compound type experience. That's called bioavailability. Like how much you actually get into the bloodstream is essentially the definition of bioavailability. Now, magnesium companies argue about bioavailability all day long because number one, they're never going to get in trouble with the FDA. So they can talk about it all day long and not get in trouble. However, I've reviewed all the papers I can find about magnesium and bioavailability, including the ones the supplement companies paid for. And it appears that they all are absorbed between 24 and 25%, like wow. Oxide included and glycine included. So there's almost zero difference between the bioavailability of brands. What's different is that you get extra molecules of that compounded molecule. So you get extra malic acid, extra citric acid, extra glycine, extra threonate, whatever. And so that that seven forms idea is the fact that they're assuming you're low on not magnesium, but you're low on a different mineral like citric acid or malic acid. And so they're telling you a really nice story that they don't read the research and they don't know your body. So they're just going to try to blanket you with, you know, with every form and hope it works better. I don't think it's bad. I just think it's not optimized and it's not really backed by research.
Okay, there we go. What about magnesium carbonate forms compared to the oxide and citrates? Did you talk about that?
Carbonate. I haven't looked into carbonate in a while. I believe carbonate is used in antacids quite a bit. Going from memory here, did not look at that in the last few months. Okay. But I believe magnesium carbonate is going to be a stomach acid suppressor. And in general, most people who are running professional grade integrative functional medicine supplement brands, they're not using carbonate as a form of magnesium. And probably the reason why is that very thing. But there, if not, there's probably another reason probably to use less of it.
Okay. Jean, pop your question in the Q&A box. Tanya, hi, Steve. I worry about long-term high dose of magnesium. Could you please speak about it? Studies advise against it, it seems. I am at 1500 milligrams a night with 2 of 6 enzymes long-term to enable functioning. I'm still constipated and bloated half the time. Are there studies that are against it that you've seen?
So I haven't seen a high dose. If you can post a study or shoot me an email, support a healthy gut for the email that is about supplementation causing hypermagnesia, basically is what it's called. Basically, there are people who drive their magnesium levels too high, and that can cause serious issues as well. It's going to cause a bunch of mineral imbalances across your body. So you can go too aggressive with magnesium. That is true. I have not seen any studies or data showing how long that takes, and it's going to be completely different based on the storage in your bones, your organs, your brain, all that kind of stuff. If you're using that high a level specifically for constipation, I would say introduce vitamin C 1000 milligrams 3 times per day into there, and you should be able to lower that down to maybe 1200 or 1000. And see how that goes. And then if you haven't done an HCL challenge, I'm very into our HCL because it has a prokinetic in there. But you could either do an HCL challenge or try a motility supplement that could also potentially get your magnesium glycinate usage down if that's what you're worried about.
But the other thing is, how much water are you realistically drinking, or, you know, how much fluid are you using or drinking? Drinking, however you're going to say it. What is the optimal magnesium for a blood test or serum test?
I get both of them. You're usually like $40 for both of them. Like, you can go to Rupa Health these days. You can go to all kinds of online lab companies and get your own blood draws if you don't want to mess around.
What's the level? The optimal level.
Oh, the optimal level. I'm sorry. I would say upper quarter, so the 75th percentile and up of the reference range of the lab. And you want to do multiple lab draws because the diet you're eating, the supplementation, when you're doing it, the time of the year, that can all affect your levels. And so you want to get 2 to 3 data points in the course of a year to fully be like, yeah, this is my dose. I'm crushing it right here. This is the best for me.
Tanya's saying, I do that, Steve, 2 to 3 grams of vitamin C a day. Thanks for listening to you before. Oh, good. Oh, you're very consistent, Stephen. Also, Percalipri, awesome. I'll stagger the vitamin C and find references. Thanks. Yeah, go ahead and email the references to support at the Healthy Gut. Is it the Healthy Gut?
Just at Healthy Gut, support at Healthy, Healthy Gut.
Gut. Support, yeah. HealthyGut.com. Okay, because that would be interesting. Here's the thing is that the capsule, which I don't have one with me, I'm sorry, are nice, and they're not horse pills is the bottom line. I find them to be like a little bit smaller so that I don't have the pill fatigue that I suffer from. Trina's saying, my certified nutritionist replaced my algae cal with magnesium in the right ratio to calcium with liquid magnesium by this company. Reverse osmosis water. Cool. No mention what kind. What is the form of your magnesium? Oh, it is. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, it's magnesium bisglycinate. So I'm not familiar with that type of supplementation or that company. Yeah. So I can't comment on that.
Yeah. So if you want that more smoothed out, that more like what I call the more harmonious, still really effective, but less aggressive, but also like, it's like gentle, but effective. I think I really feel like I'm on a commercial right now. It's gentle, but effective, but it is true. And it helps me with my sleep. It also helps with the, your digestion, but it's not going to lead to urgency. And let's see. You know, Jean, I purchased a magnesium supplement and it said it had all the important magnesium supplements needed to take per day. Is that possible? Well, you know, here we go. When you know, it's not possible because they don't know you, Jean, right? So that's the thing. Everybody is different. And
so here's an easy,
Stephen, because I got a whole mouthful here. Yeah.
So the easy thing is that, I don't think that company necessarily was like trying to harm you or do anything wrong.
Right.
It's a really sexy marketing story. And if you feel better using the product, which I know many people have used the 5 forms or 7 forms or 9 forms of magnesium products, if you feel better on those, great. But if you don't notice much, then I would say try ours and then use the one that works best with your body. Because essentially what, again, we're saying is that the molecule it's bounded with, if that may be as important as the amount of magnesium in the product. And I would wager to say that if I could only bet on one form being the most important form, it would be magnesium glycinate. The majority of people tolerate it the best, that they feel effects from it, like calmer, less stress. They actually feel a relaxation as well as in their intestines, but it doesn't cause loose stools. But, you know, you may not want those effects, right? And so that might not be the perfect form for you. The only way you're going to know is to try it and then switch, or try half a bottle, order a bottle from us, try half a bottle, whichever one you feel the best, you go back and forth 1 week at a time, get a refund from the other company. We'll give you a refund if you don't like it.
There you go. And you know, when we're sitting here talking about like relaxing from magnesium or whatever, one day, not from Stephen, but somebody else, like this is a long time ago, sent me a bottle of their magnesium to try. And it was the afternoon. It was the middle of COVID. I was like, you know, sure. You know, so I tried it. And here's what happened. I hadn't been driving a lot during COVID, but then I got in the car and I was like, what is wrong with me? I've forgotten how to drive, Stephen. Oh my gosh. I literally thought I forgot how to drive, but it was so weird. But what actually happened was the magnesium had crossed my blood-brain barrier and was making me like lethargic. It was the weirdest experience. Needless to say, I still know how to drive. Thanks very much. But it was too much. Like it was way too much. And it, like, that's not my experience with Stephen's version of magnesium. And this person's was a different version anyway. It wasn't a fit for me. But, you know, that feeling, like, I don't take it during the middle of the day either in case it does relax me. But I definitely, if you all are not, you know, when do you take it? When do you take yours, Stephen? At night?
Yeah, I take mine with dinner.
Yeah. With food. With your dinner?
I don't think it matters. It's just okay. My routine. Good. Or I'll take it. Like if I'm out, I'll take it right before bed.
Okay, cool. Right. Emily, I deal with fatigue and chest pain daily. What form of magnesium would help me? Well, chest pain can be the sign of a lot of different things wrong. So be sure to talk to your doctor about that. Please. And fatigue can also be for a lot of reasons. So, but if you have, what do you have to say about like just joint pain, body pain?
Yeah, I mean, number one, get tests done, because it's better to catch a blocked artery or a lump or whatever it is early. So ruling that out also can help relieve the unconscious mind's wondering about what's happening. beyond that, I would say low estrogen. Check for low estrogen because a lot of people with low estrogen end up having tachycardia, angina, other heart-related stuff. As the, you know, if you're a woman over 35, you could be entering perimenopause early. People don't want to hear that, but it's happening. If you're over 50, then for sure. And then, yeah, magnesium deficiency is linked to those things. So you could try something like magnesium glycinate and see if it helps out. But again, it's not a treatment for those issues. It may just support the overall recovery.
When it comes, speaking of hormones, when it comes to constipation and hormones, do you want to comment on that? Like, can hormones affect constipation? Be an underlying
cause? Yes, 100%, 100%. So part of all digestion is an interplay between the hormones in your body, the immune system, and the microbiome and everything else that's happening, the motility inside your body. So also the interplay between the vagal tone or the parasympathetic tone or your HRV and your sympathetic tone or your like fight or flight. So if you have stress, which a lot of us do, me included, you have higher sympathetic tone, lower HRV or lower vagal tone, you're going to have higher cortisol. If you have higher cortisol, you end up typically messing up your other sex hormones over time. But you also basically restrict motility by not allowing the proper motility functions to happen by being in sympathetic. And is it the sympathetic? Is it the cortisol? Is it the downstream regulation of estrogen, progesterone, testosterone? I mean, we can all, it depends on, it's like a prism. It's like flipping a diamond. It just depends on which way you want to spin it and look at it. But they're all related. And so I firmly say, and I've said this publicly many times now, if you have especially done the new protocols that I've put out there from our company, and you've done testing on your gut and you don't have an overt infection of any type, then I would stop, like do whatever you have to do to kind of keep digesting every day and pooping as good as you can, but stop looking for a parasite, stop looking for that and start looking at your hormones or your nervous system. Because despite everyone wanting to blame mold, I believe mold is important. I just believe that we're missing the boat here, that the nervous system is also very important for detoxing. The hormones are very important for detoxing. And I see a lot of people getting stuck over there, still thinking it's a diet issue or a, you know, a gut issue of some type.
I have osteoporosis and constipation. What dosage of magnesium glycinate would you recommend to start? I'm not currently taking any magnesium. Or would you, there you go.
So again, magnesium glycinate is going to support both of those conditions. It does not fix either condition. I just kind of have to say that publicly.
Yeah, please.
I would just start at the two capsules with, you know, before bed and see how you're feeling. If you have osteoporosis, hopefully you're working with a functional medicine or integrative medical person that has you on a D3 K2 version. Hopefully you're doing some form of weight training. That's the number one thing for osteoporosis outside of nutrients is just weightlifting. If not, a friend of mine runs a company called The Bone Coach. Go check it out.
Yeah, Kevin Ellis, he's awesome. Brooks, relationship between mineral absorption and healthy HCL production. If HCL production is important for magnesium absorption and other minerals, what strategy do you use to increase intrinsic HCL?
Yes, 100%. This is a very complex question. So if you're low HCL, meaning you need a HCL supportive supplement like HCL Guard from Healthy Gut or from a different company, there could be a number of root causes on why the HCL is not being produced enough. One of those root causes could be mineral deficiency. Mineral deficiency is typically for HCL related to zinc, magnesium, or calcium. So I would boost your dosages of those products. Zinc is the most, the one you got to be the most careful with. You can drive your copper and zinc ratios out of alignment. You can get into some weird spots above 100 milligrams a day of zinc. So I would stay under 100 milligrams a day of zinc. And it's the least forgiving of the minerals. And then, you can sort of like superdose with those minerals and see if it helps to improve that. The other two blockers of HCL production that are very typical, our nervous system dysregulation, which I just talked about, which is that your not sniffing your food enough, you're not relaxing enough before food, you're not giving your body enough time to make the acid, or you're too stressed to actually make it, or you have an infection, typically an H. pylori infection.
Can we talk about your HCl product for a second?
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
What do you want to talk about? Hold on. This is when you click the link, stop share. Hang on. I want to go to chat, everybody, and you'll see the link for, if I can make my chat come up, you'll see the link for Stephen's website and for all of his products, the Holozyme, the HCL Guard, the Tributarin X, the Holoimmune, and also, of course, the magnesium, which is on the top of the little messaging there. But I want to just, what's your number one product, Stephen? Is it HCL Guard or Holozymes?
Holozymes are number one seller by a fraction of a point, with Tributarin X being the number two seller.
Yeah. If anybody wants to know more about these particular formulations, when we send you this replay, you'll be able to see all of the sessions we've done with Stephen over time. Before I show you this, let's talk about your Facebook group. Because when you shop for anything from Stephen, he has a Facebook group with dedicated support that are actually trained. So tell us about it, if you would, please.
Yeah, so I've been doing this stuff, the gut health stuff, for 15 years, the researching, the writing, the functional medicine, you know, that all has been over the last 15 years. What I've noticed in my own body, as well as what I noticed when I had a clinic, was that the dosage changes body to body, you know, time of the year, all these things. And that's the inconvenient truth. The inconvenient truth is that I can produce as Healthy Gut Company, or any other supplement company out there, we could produce the best product in the world. But if the dose is off by even a little bit, you will not get the results you want. And so part of what I'm committed to is having a team of health coaches who are trained, having a community like the Facebook community, where you can be, if you want to publicly discuss these things, if you want to publicly challenge me, as long as you do it respectfully, we can have that discourse in there. You can also ask your dosing questions. You can get feedback from other users in a mostly regulated way, where there's not going to be, you know, people trying to spam you or you know, do other bad things. Or you can just call in to the company and set up a time with one of our health coaches. So, the goal is, number one, we're talking about magnesium glycinate, right? We're not the only company with magnesium glycinate. Yeah. But why is it that if you go read our 120 plus reviews on the page, that they say, this is the best one. I switched from this other one. I switched from this one. I didn't believe this would work. And the reason why is that the actual ingredient selection and manufacturing selection is a huge part, as well as the dosing. So our magnesium glycinate is 50% stronger than anybody else's, meaning the capsule, the amount of magnesium glycinate inside of a capsule is 50% more than the other brands out there. And then we help people with the dosing. Most people just start with two per day, but some people use three or four, you know, and obviously it can get different from there, but we want to be there for you. We want to show you that, I guess it's 141 now.
Yeah.
We want to show you that our product is different than the other brands you can get on Amazon or on, you know, on another store or whatever. And it starts with the fact that we select different ingredients. We work with different manufacturers all across the world to make a better product. And then we use the Facebook group and our health coaches to make sure you feel supported to find the proper dosage for your system.
There it is. All right, you can get $15 off and you get the free shipping in the US. And then the HCL Guard, I just want to pull that one up for a second here too, because I know a lot of people love it. Zoom, share screen. Hey there. Okay. So here's the HCL Guard. And right. This and enzymes are the most under the radar for me in terms of something easy you can do to help your digestion. You guys can read this yourself. You can click on the link here, but how does it give you the holistic stomach support, and what's a protein ball?
Okay. So I would say low stomach acid is the number one, the number one contributing factor to chronic low grade, low grade inflammation and motility issues. So if you have a motility issue, you're on the constipation scale or the diarrhea scale, or you have low grade inflammation, low stomach acid, I believe is the most, it's like the silent part of that, that no one's willing to talk about, even though the research has shown that both in animals as well as in humans, that is true, that if you have high stomach acid, you will have higher LPS dumping from your oral microbiome. It doesn't matter what you eat, just your microbiome inside of your mouth will dump high amounts of toxins, up to 2,000 times more toxins than the proper stomach acid levels, into your gut every day, 24 hours a day. So for $150 with our company or any other company, you can do an HCL challenge and you can find out once and for all, is this contributing to your motility or your inflammation related problems? I think it's a no-brainer with all the stuff that we're all doing to try to feel good on a regular basis. Your stomach has to essentially open up the molecules. I talked earlier about, I'm not sure that we get all the nutrients out of a seed or a nut that the back of the box says, or what you see online. And part of that is because we have to turn those like really hard structures, like balls, we have to open them up like flowers. You can look at 3D microscope versions of this to see what happens, but it's called protein unfolding. But it's not just proteins. All the structures need to be broken down, liquefied, and they need to unfold. That's part of what the acid does. In the acid bath, the protein balls begin to open up like flowers. Then the pepsin and the other proteases can come in and they can cut up the different linkages in the protein and cut it into amino acids and into peptides. Without that unfolding process, that flower process, you got your enzymes just like hammering on the outside of a protein ball, trying to peck off little parts of it rather than being able to do their job and cut the sections properly.
Okay. Lisa's worrying about her brother whose gallbladder was removed and on chronic acid blocker meds. Does HCL Guard help?
Yeah, I mean, he may need a bile support product, and he may need HCL Guard for the rest of his life because of that. But he's got to choose that, and he's got to probably work with his provider to come off those acid blockers because they're just a convenient solution. They're a very big Band-Aid that has long-term consequences. You can look at the risk of fractures and osteoporosis and other infections in the gut from long-term usage of PPIs, but you just got to be careful that he has to choose it.
Yeah, there is always that. Do you know anything about magnesium pitolate?
No, this is actually, I saw that comment. I'm going to have to Google that. I've never heard that one.
Okay, let's talk about Holozyme before we wrap up today. Holozyme, if you haven't come to one of Stephen's presentations before, Holozyme is his very specialized digestive enzyme. And what's the status with the kelp and all that in it? But that's just a side note because I want to show everybody what's in it first. So I know you have a big announcement coming up at the end of the year.
Yep, nothing to announce right now. 7.5 milligrams. We've cut it in half. Since the last time we talked about Holozyme earlier this year, we have a new version 5 out right now. The lipase doubled and the kelp was cut in half, 50% down. I don't think kelp is bad. I don't think iodine's bad. I think some people out there started another witch hunt for just a normal nutrient in the body. But I get that people have beliefs and they want their products free of those beliefs. So, cellulase is up. Lipase is up, kelp is down in this version, and we're still getting even better results with version 5. So we do believe that this is the most activated and strongest enzyme on the market for food related things.
And when you say activated, what does that mean?
Basically every enzyme needs a mineral cofactor. It's almost like you need your best friend. Like if you have your best friend, you have a better time, right? I always picture like cartoon characters dancing more if they're holding hands with their best friend versus if they're just walking alone, they're probably not dancing as much. They're not have the music isn't playing. It's not as fun, right? Enzymes need a best friend. They need a mineral cofactor. And when we make them inside of our bodies, or when we extract them from pigs or other things like that, they have their best friend with them already. They have their mineral with them. When we make a vegan or a vegetarian enzyme in a lab, they do not have their best friend with them. So we are the only company in the world that has a patented system of basically a scientist we license this patent from that we work with. He found out which enzyme needs which best friend. And so we put that all into one capsule. That way, it's all going to work meal to meal, body to body. Like the consistency is at an all-time high for enzyme usage, and the results are an all-time high. Otherwise, you have to rely on the meal you're eating to liberate that enzyme. And so that's why even really expensive enzymes can work sometimes and not work other times.
Got it. Okay. That's what I wanted to know. All right. Let's see. We're going to wrap up here in a minute. I don't think there's arsenic in the kelp, Susan. I've had stomach issues, Carrie, since having an H. pylori infection in late 2019. I'm so sorry. Could my issues be related to that initial infection? And since then, I have been on acid reducers off and on. Did you resolve the H. pylori? I guess is my question.
Yeah, I don't
know what the question is. Could her stomach issues of bloating and constipation be related to H. pylori from late 2019?
Yes, 100%. And if you didn't do an aftercare recovery plan to rebuild your HDL and enzymes after that killing protocol that you did with your provider, then 100%, yes.
How do you know if a digestive enzyme is working?
You'll feel it. It should work. Like, I mean, yeah. I'm not saying you can go out there and eat sugar and gluten and be like, oh, look, it's working. I have perfect poops and I don't have any bloating. But if you're eating a normal, whatever is a normal food group for you or normal meal, I guess, if you take the enzyme, whatever you don't want, say bloating or reflux or constipation or diarrhea, well, those things should get better. If they're not, that's the wrong product or the wrong dosage. So if you already have one on hand and you're asking the question, how do I know if it's working? I'm already going to assume it's not working for you. So at least try doubling the dosage of whatever you have on hand and seeing if you notice anything. But that's the key. You got to know what your body normally does, and then the product should make those things better. And we're not talking like in a month. I'm talking tomorrow.
Yeah, it's fast. It is fast. Let's see. Lynn, I don't know if this is going to be up Steve's alley, but she's taking Reclast. Do you know what that is? It's an osteoporosis infusion. I'm so sorry. Horrible muscle cramping. You should check in with Kevin Ellis, who's the bone coach.
It's not my area of expertise.
So I don't want to go there, but check out Kevin Ellis's site. Okay, guys, I'm going to wrap it. Steve, do you have any parting thoughts?
I would just say that again, my takeaway is there's a lot of story about magnesium products on the market. Like mine's more bioavailable. This one's got all the forms you need, all seven forms. This one crosses the blood-brain barrier. These are all stories. Your experience inside of your own body is what matters the most. And so what I would do is get multiple versions and try them week to week. Like try 7 days of one kind, magnesium 3 and 8. Stop taking that one. Start a magnesium citrate and see how you feel, or try a 3 or a 7 forms, and then try 7 days of ours and see how you feel. And then whatever ones you don't like, get a refund for them because they're not the right ones for your body right now.
Son is just asking about lentils. Yes, if you're having gas from beans, you should definitely try holozyme. And yes, you will get distension. They ferment. And so that does lead to that. So that is a really legit situation. A lot of jokes about that, et cetera. And so definitely try the.
Yeah, you need, I mean, there's good data on that. That's alpha galactidase, enzyme, cellulase, and invertase. So you need those three enzymes to break down beans and lentils and legumes and amylase as well. But I kind of assume you're making some of that. It's the brushwater enzymes that people lose because of inflammation at the small intestine level. They lose their production of the brushwater enzymes. And then most of these bloating, fermenting things start to happen.
What we're suggesting is holozyme. So go up, Son, to the little, how do people get into the Facebook group? Do you give them the information once they have placed an order?
Yeah, on the thank you page of your order confirmation will be a link to jump in there. Your first 2 or 3 or 4 emails from us will all be reminding you to please join. And if you still can't find it or whatever, just email us.
And yes, you'll get version 5 of the Holozyme if you order that now. Kevin's website, you just need to Google Kevin Ellis, Bone Coach. I don't have his link off the top of my head. And I would be doing that. So I'm going to ask you to do that for me. And chronic constipation, due to whatever the issue is, you can really get some great relief with what we've been talking about with Stephen's magnesium, as well as it's great for your brain and all of those other. And
yeah, we have a constipation bundle on the website. The coupon code will should work for $15 off that. So that's Holozymes, HCL Guard, and magnesium. So that's our constipation bundle.
All right. That's nice. Thank you very much for the discount, Stephen, so consistently. I really appreciate it. And with that, I say thank you all for being here. We love working with you. We love hearing from you, Steve, and getting the different pieces of advice and your perspective. And thank you so much for actually doing this work, because I know you really didn't want to because you had other things and you didn't have to do this work, but you did because you wanted it. And now you're also helping other people. So I really appreciate that, as you know.
Well, yeah, thank you. I mean, I don't think that's my story any longer. I'm happy. I love supplements. I know.
I'll switch that. Stephen is delighted to share with you his newest discoveries. That's very true. And I'm so glad to hear you say that. I need to change my programming about that story, because you're stoked. I mean, you are excited. I see you and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to tell you about this. You're like in discovery mode, which leads to so much enthusiasm. And that, of course, leads to great results because you have such high standards. And when you get turned on about something that is helping you and helping other people, and then you share it with everyone else, I know that's what gives both of us such a great lift and really fulfills our mission. So I'm very happy that you've had such great success and are helping so many people.
Yeah. Big thanks to you. And thanks to everybody for all your questions. You help everybody else by being courageous and asking them in a public forum, and, you know, you keep us honest, which is perfect. That's what it should be. And that's how this should work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Stephen, did you want to answer anything? Cause I see you typing and,
typing.
Okay. Not typing. Stephen's
not
typing.
Me.
All right. Peace out, everybody. Clarissa, thank you. Pop some love into the chat for Stephen. And there are the links. We will send this replay out to you. And so that we'll have the information as well. His Facebook group will be told to you after you purchase. And it's in all the thank you pages and the first initial emails. I don't know of any supplement company that gives you the support that Stephen's company does. Just unheard of. I mean, seriously, that you could book a call with a health coach. They're not going to be your doctor, but they're going to talk to you about the dosing, and they're going to give you some suggestions, and they're going to listen to you and what your challenges are. And they may suggest another supplement, or they may say, hey, this one wasn't right for you. You should try this, or up it or down it or whatever. You know, that's really remarkable, but that's who Stephen is, because he's truly devoted to helping heal the planet. And that's why I also applaud you all for coming on over and doing the work, because you're saving yourselves. That's my whole SOS. If you go to any of the links in the chat there, you'll be able to find his website. It's $15 off with free shipping in the US for right now. But also, if the coupon doesn't work for you for some reason, or if it doesn't auto-populate with the $15 off, it's SIBO SOS is the coupon. And Clarissa just posted the links.
Remember the research I mentioned at the top of the hour. If you're taking supplemental D3, you're likely depleting magnesium if you're not taking it supplementally as well. And then those people who take 550 milligrams versus those people who take 350 milligrams from a dietary study, I couldn't figure out if they also included supplementation, but the total amount of magnesium intake for these folks was 350 versus 550. The people who took 550 or more, they were the ones who had the brains that were a year younger than 350s. So new cool stuff coming out all the time. And so just remember that no matter what magnesium you're taking.
There you go. Okay. Have a great day, everyone. Take care. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.